Jesus, I forgive. 7 times? No, Jesus replied, not 7 times. I tell you 70 times 7. And here's why. The kingdom of heaven is like a ruler who decided to settle accounts with the royal officials. When the audit was begun, and as the debtor had no way of paying, the ruler ordered this official to be sold, along with his family and property, in payment of the debt. At this, the official bowed in homage and said, I beg you, your highness, be patient with me and I will pay you back in full. And moved with pity, the ruler let the official go and wrote off the debt. Then that same official went out and met a colleague who owed that person, that official, $20. The official seized and throttled this debtor with the demand, pay me back what you owe me. The debtor, who owed only $20, dropped to the ground and began to plead, just give me time and I will pay you back in full. But the official would hear none of it and instead had the colleague put in debtor's prison until the money was paid. When the other officials saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and they went to the ruler, reporting the entire incident. The ruler then sent for that official that he had forgiven and said, you worthless wretch, I canceled your entire debt when you pleaded with me. Should you not have dealt mercifully with your colleague as I dealt with you? Then in anger, the ruler handed the official over to be tortured until the debt had been paid in full. My Abba, Jesus says, from your hearts. Harsh story. I invite you to do something with me. Take your fists and ball them up really tight, as tight as you can. Then I want you to put them together and press them together as tight as you can. And then I want you to hold them like that the whole sermon. Of course we can't. That would become uncomfortable pretty quickly and then very painful. And yet, we do this to ourselves all the time. We hold on to emotional things tightly and then until they become really uncomfortable and even painful. And yet, we refuse to admit to their reality and let them go. We hold on to things that do not serve life well. One of these major sources of pain is our inability to forgive. Of all the subjects over the years I have been asked to preach on, the one undoubtedly most common is on forgiveness. Or more accurately, how do I forgive? How do I forgive someone who has injured or damaged me? Or a particular group of people? How do I let go of my bitterness or rage or hatred toward another person? I get it, because forgiveness is hard. I find it hard. We find it very hard to let go of the hurt and pain and betrayal and even the damage that someone has done to us or to someone we love. I use the illustration of the hands to remind us of the effects, though, of unforgiveness on ourselves. Our hearts not only become hard and inflexible, they hold on to unnecessary baggage and pain that will ultimately do more damage to us than anyone else if we continue to harbor that hatred, that bitterness, that rage, that unforgiveness in our hearts and ultimately in our bodies, because we hold all of our emotions in our bodies, which eventually makes us sick. You know, unforgiveness, that old saying, is like you drinking poison and hoping it'll affect the other person. We often think we can't or shouldn't forgive, because to forgive, we think, is to forget, is to let somebody off the hook, which isn't true. Or it is to let someone get away with something we think they should be punished for, held account for. Or we find it hard to forgive when the other doesn't acknowledge that they've done anything. That's a hard one. We don't want to let go until they see some consequences. Which, friends, really often is just an exercise in futility. We can't make anyone else see or refuse to see what they don't think they're responsible for or won't take accountability for. It's not our job. What ends up happening is we are the ones who just stay frustrated and angry. Then why isn't it easier to forgive? Why can't we forgive? Why is it so hard? Because as with anything we hold on to, there are benefits to holding on to unforgiveness. I'm going to name just a few major ones. Self-righteousness. Hey, they're worse than me. They're bad. I'm good. I'm more moral or ethical than they are. That factors into a lot of unforgiveness. Our sense of self-righteousness. Or what about this one? It's a big one. Justice. Holding on to the injustice that others are doing, perpetrating, at least guarantees that it's not forgotten. And that we can justify it when we celebrate a little bit when they get what they deserve. We like to revel a little when something bad happens to the villain, though we would never want to admit that's the kind of person we are. Another one. We get to, when we have been wronged and hurt, retain our status as a victim. That gets a lot of play these days. We were, or I was, wronged by them, whoever them is. Look at me, how I was wronged and hurt. It is one way to get attention, or to get people to feel sorry for us, or to pull people into our side against that side. What about this one? Using unforgiveness to fuel our anger. Not forgiving gives us an excuse to not only be angry with another, it gives some people, they think, the right to be angry at the world. And there are groups of people out there who are living by this. If I can get angry about a cause or angry about something that's going on, it fuels what I am doing. The thing is, anger overpowers almost all other emotions to the extent that you may not feel any other emotions except that anger, which fuels you. And it allows us to blame others for the way we are and the way we behave. This is another one that I don't think people recognize as much. It is the fear of becoming nothing if I cannot have my anger, my self-righteousness. For some people, unforgiveness or bitterness or anger towards another gives us a sense not only of who we are, but our purpose in life. What happens when we give up our anger? When we open ourselves up? What are we then when we let go of our bitterness and anger, when we have been bathed so long in that cortisol bath of anger, revenge, bitterness for so long? If that happens, we no longer know who we are or what we're about. So we stay angry. I think there are some people like that leading our countries these days. It is so dangerous. We can also use our anger, our unforgiveness for not getting close to others. Anger is such a great buffer in relationships. It prevents us from getting too close and possibly being hurt or let down or disappointed or abandoned again. So we use it. For sure, this type of anger, rage, and bitterness has its payoffs, not necessarily productive ones, but they serve a purpose. After a while, bitterness and anger can become like a second nature to us, like a protective outer skin that we cannot let go of. It just becomes part of us. Jesus knew that. Jesus knew it. He understood that forgiveness is incredibly hard, that we cannot do it easily. When Peter goes to Jesus and asks him how many times he is to forgive a brother or a sister, what did Jesus say? 7 times 70. What's that? 490. Forgive those who have wronged you or hurt you, those who are closest to you, 490 times. Really? And that's the point, Karen. That is exactly the point. On first reading, we might be led to believe that Jesus is saying that no matter how many times someone does something to you and you are wronged, you have to forgive. Who did he say we had to forgive? Brothers and sisters, those who are closest to us. Those who can hurt us the most, whose betrayal or our love and trust go to, and it goes the deepest. By the way, this includes ourselves. Because we sometimes find it hardest to forgive ourselves. So, is Jesus saying we just keep on letting them hurt us over and over and over again and keep on forgiving over and over and over again? I was going to say something else. I'm just going to say, heck no. Of course not. As with anything to do with Jesus, we really have to go deeper. Because Jesus modeled and taught, this would go against everything that Jesus modeled and taught, because Jesus modeled and taught that we are to love each other all of the time, that we are to do our best not to hurt anybody else. Therefore, if Jesus said, just let them go on hurting you, it's okay, just keep forgiving them, that would go against everything that Jesus taught. He didn't want anybody to perpetrate any harm on another. He was the one who called people on their actions and told them to ask for forgiveness when they harmed another and told them not to do it again. So forgive that person for doing something 490 times, not on your life. He's not advocating that we become doormats and keep letting people harm us over and over and over again, constantly forgiving them. That would go against everything that Jesus modeled and taught. Yet he also knew that people could be cruel and mean and hurtful towards others. That people who love each other hurt each other. It's inevitable. We are human. We believe different things. We say different things. Sometimes we mess up. It's human. We hurt each other. And he also understood that forgiveness is one of the hardest things we can offer to those who betray us. Perhaps most of all, we find it hard to forgive ourselves. So then what was his message? This is it. keep trying. Keep trying to forgive. Keep offering forgiveness over and over and over again for that one hurt that sticks. Not for 490 of them. It's that one betrayal that sticks with us that we have to keep trying to forgive over and over again until 490 times, until you have lost count. That's what 490 is, until you have lost count. Keep trying to forgive that one thing until you let go of wanting the other to hurt or to ask for forgiveness for what they've done, because often people will never do that. Let go of anybody wanting to be punished for what they've done or wishing upon them whatever nasty little consequence you'd like to see visited on them. We don't want to pretend that we do that, but we do. Maybe it'll take 490 times to forgive that thing. Just keep trying. Which doesn't mean once you've let it out of your heart, once you've forgiven, that you have to have a relationship with that person. Because if they keep doing the same thing, you shouldn't have a relationship with that person. It's not healthy for you. Until they figure out what they're doing, maybe you can't have a relationship with that person. Doesn't mean that. Has nothing to do with what kind of relationship you have with the person. Has to do with what is going on in your heart. And it is so hard to do. Jesus said to Peter, how many times do you forgive? You forgive until it's gone, until the hurt and the bitterness and the anger is completely gone. But you have to forgive, he says. You have to do it. At the heart of Jesus' message is this: God forgives unconditionally. God has forgiven all the things we have done to harm others, the earth, ourselves. God forgives us millions of times, like the ruler in the story forgave the official. God keeps forgiving us. God is infinitely forgiving. This is God's way. But he also says, if we refuse to forgive others, if we want to direct our anger and rage and pain towards others, there are consequences, he says. Self-imprisonment, torture, and intense suffering. We become locked into the smallness of our own lives. Just like the official who went out and wouldn't forgive the $20, he was the one who ended up imprisoned. He was the one who ended up suffering. The benefits of forgiveness are huge, my friends. Forgiveness for others, forgiveness for ourselves. Freedom. Increased capacity for love. Compassion for others. Hearts that can hold so much more. When we let go of our anger and bitterness, light comes flooding into our lives. We are lighter in body and in soul. We are healthier and more whole. When we're not like this, when we're like this. Forgiveness in the end is never about what anybody else has done to us. It's about us. It's about our own hearts. It's not easy. It's not easy. It takes a long time. 490 times. But it is so worth it. So, let's get heart healthy this year by getting better at this practice of forgiveness. Let's take a moment for reflection, and I'm going to invite you to take out your little cards.